While the fruit gets distributed, I just want to give you a bit of an insight on how I saw this morning, just so that you just can also receive from the right side. I thought I want to do it again like I would do a devotional, the same way I would do quiet time on my own, almost in a way, as I would read the scripture, my thoughts will take me to certain places, and I thought just to verbalize that, so almost this morning, more than preaching at you, we are doing a devotional together, and I hope you enjoy it. And I like to see the little books and pens, because it's when we learn the best, when we record and make little notes and stuff. Okay, let's just pray for a second. Lord Jesus, as we bring ourselves before you this morning, Lord, we just have an amazing expectation, Lord, that your word will be alive to us, Lord. Lord, your word is living. And it's profitable for many things, Lord, and especially to direct us in life and godliness. And may, Lord, the word that we do this morning just really fall like seed on our hearts, Lord, and bear much fruit, Jesus. We praise your name. Amen. Cool. All the kiddies left for Kiddies Church? Is my mic a bit loud? It's fine. Okay. Right, let's read together. Anel, are you ready there by the projector? You're not normally part of my quiet time, but this morning, let's do this. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him that all that they had done and taught. Now, just to put us on the same page, what had happened is that Altus preached two sermons ago, and the piece which you shared on Jesus sent the disciples out. He said, go. Don't take this, take that, take your sandals, don't take extra clothes. And he gave them instructions, and he sent them out. Then, it's like Mark, the author, takes a big ad break, and he speaks about John the Baptist, and he's there. It's almost like, just there in the middle of nowhere. And now we're back. The apostles returned to Jesus after he sent them out. And they told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place, and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them coming and going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The next one. Sorry, I made a double there. Next one? Yeah. No, my mistake. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found it, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Okay. Once again, it's almost for me, it reminds me of the piece of the washing of the feet in Scripture. Because it may look one-dimensional. It may look like it's only about the multiplication of food, which it surely is, but it's much more. And as I read it and I studied it, this is what came to my heart, and I'm just going to share it plain like a devotional. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. So, back to the start, Anel, if you don't mind. The first one, verse 30. Right. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. That's the first verse. That is worth a sermon and a book. Just look at that. Every minister, well, let me put it the other way. If you are saved today, you're a child of God, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Which means you've got an eternity with God, but still we will go to Christ one day and we will tell Him all we have done and all we have taught. Accountability. There will be a moment. Relationship with Christ have two aspects that we can see from this scripture. The one is we will have be accountable to Christ for our ministry or the lack thereof. Hard to say, but it is just true. Amen? Now, let me just throw the flip side because that may sound like I'm putting you in a corner now or myself. But the opposite is also true. The same way we've got access to Him daily to speak to Him about what we are supposed to say and teach and how we're supposed to minister and our fears that goes on with that. And the basis of this relationship is such that we can say, God, I know I've got a calling, but I'm so scared. Will you help me? And yes, you will. Lord, I'm not sure what you want to do with my life, but I know I'm here for a reason. Can we talk, pray with me, help me, encourage me? So, accountability or relationship with Jesus does not go about Jesus measuring you, see, oh, you're short, giving you a hiding and sending you out. It's more also about raising you up and sending you away. You can do it. But they came back to Christ and they told Him all that they had done and taught. And so will I, and so will you. I think it is biblical to say we don't have to wait for one day to give an account. We can do it daily with Christ. It's called repentance and worship. Go to Him daily and be judged by Him. And as we receive judgment, God is satisfied in the cross. And we find strength to stand up and to go again, to minister again, and to make mistakes. Amen? But to think that there is no reckoning would be lawlessness. There's no law. There's no God. But there is. Amen? And He said to them, I'm just going to do it slowly again, this time with a running commentary. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while, for many were coming and going. They had not even leisure to eat. They went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Yeah, it's interesting. Just side note, God wanted them to rest because they worked hard. Interesting, the place where He took them to rest was not a 5-star hotel. It was a desolate place, the desert. Because you see, Christ was there. And they were alone. So He could refresh their hearts. He could make them strong again. Simple. The simple things with God can mean a lot. So He takes them to a desert so that they can rest. Just something interesting there. Now, verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. I don't think they used the speedboat. So maybe the crowds, it was quite doable to outrun the ship. I mean that whole thing probably took a few hours to get going. So I don't think the crowd was that fast, but let's give them something for their effort. He went ashore and saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and He began to teach many. This is actually amazing. So the crowd sees them going. They are not invited. There's not a church bell. There's not an announcer. There's not the disciples telling them, come with us. In fact, they are trying to escape them for just a while, just to go and rest. No invitation. They're not compelled to go. Yet, they go out of their cities to follow Christ. They leave their families behind, at least for a long day. They leave their business, leave their cattle, their houses. They leave their callings for what He might have for them. And they run. And they outrun the ship. Which maybe was not that fast, but it sounds cool. Okay? And I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking church services. And how often I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, it's so nice on the beach. Oh, I want to ride my bike a bit longer. Confession. But I mean, Christ is worth so much more than my teensy, tiny little calling. And what a great example this crowd set for us. They're a shepherdless bunch of people. Yet their hearts proved to be better than mine. Leaving their stuff right there to follow Christ into a desert. And I was convicted in my quiet time. And I said, Lord, coming to your house, it's amazing. Right at the end, I attached two scriptures. Will you go there? Psalm 84 verse 10. It must be one of my favorites. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, God, forgive me for my evil heart, for thinking for a moment the life that I can build for myself for this day with a compilation of a bit of fun, a bit of reading, chilling with my wife, a movie, a restaurant, can even come close to your presence. It can't. I'm so satisfied in you. And show me that on a daily basis. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Man, I planned my week. Of course I must, I'm the pastor. But I wish I was not, so that I could exercise this in virtue. I would plan my life around the things of God to show Him, not people, to show Him He is more important to me than staying an extra 2 hours with my parents that live in Wellington. I would come to the house of God because He's here. Amen. There is one day in His courts. I just want to say thank you to all the people that ran there for giving us that that moment of truth. The same thing, on the same scripture, I need to just apply something else. But let me just first cement this truth. Jesus, with His presence, turns the wilderness into paradise. Amen? He turns wilderness into paradise. Think about it. 1 second. You're a young bunch, okay? Let's say you're a widow. Your husband died. That's not exactly the most amazing place to be. But if you meet Christ, even your life, even the fact that you lost your husband, He comes into your life and He turns your life into paradise. Because you realize, wow, this transcends this earthly pain. Maybe you're the only person your whole family left. Maybe you're a person with many regrets. And you would describe your life as desert-ish. Christ turns the desert into paradise. Because of Him. Amen? Now, the crowd were actually not very polite. Because they knew that Jesus and His gang wanted to go and rest. In a way, they were socially very inappropriate. They were rude. They followed them. They nagged them like a starkey. Okay, I just want to go take a break. Come on, do a miracle. Okay? But in context, the fact they left their callings and they go and they run, they're actually hungry as well. Jesus looks at them and He knows they're desperate. And He excuses their social inappropriateness. I'll have to put a big word in English, huh? Where's John? Huh? Good, huh? Aced it. He looks at them, and instead of saying politely, hey guys, give us 5 minutes here, hey, we're hungry, we haven't eaten, he has compassion. Jesus will always excuse the rudeness or the misbehavior of someone that is in desperate thirst of Him. And so should we. So should we. Now, the guy calls me 5 times a day. Elders. I remember. This person, he sucks the life out of me. I can't take it anymore. Yeah, he's maybe just desperate for Christ. God, I've got this much compassion. You've got so much. So change my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. Lord, I pray that you'll change my heart to have compassion on those that are desperate for you. Amen? And excuse their rudeness. Oh, that for me was a tough prayer. Amen? But Jesus sets a marvelous example and he excused them. He has compassion. Instead of being moved with displeasure, he excused them and he had compassion. We're all together. Always a bit more than that comes out of these stories than just the fish and the bread. Amen? Amazing. Bible's got so many things. Let's go to the next verse. Mark 6 verse 35. We are still reading. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place and the hour is late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." Now what we see here is that the disciples is making a gesture. They are coming to Christ and they're saying, "Master, it's late. People is starving. Let's send them home." Look, they ran there. They know the way home. They came there themselves. They weren't abducted, thrown on the boat, and taken to some secret place. They ran there. In fact, they ran there quite fast. So the disciples come, and they've got this suggestion, which is a good suggestion. But the main point is actually this. The crowds was feeding so much spiritually on Christ that they didn't care about their natural bodies. At least for a day. Man, I'm feeding on Christ. It says that he taught them all things. He healed them. And they pushed their natural instincts aside. And they're like, "Wow, treasure of treasures ministered to me. I can hold out another 3 days. Oh, yeah, it's fine. Feed my soul. Feed my spirit. I'm hungry for you." The crowd. Jesus was to them worth more than food. Interesting 2 points that I want to make from that. Maybe it's one. A willing mind will always do more. Practical implication. Okay, I need a small group leader. Listen, you've got the skill in the heart. What do you think? Yeah. Bless you. We talk later again. Okay? If you want to do something, you are going to do it. And you are going to have endurance until the end. These people actually weren't invited or pulled into church with Christ. They ran there. I think they didn't even have a camelback to drink some water on the way. But they ran there. They wanted to go. So they went. And they stayed. They didn't worry about their hunger. Willing hearts endure to the end. For us as leaders in the church, spend your time with those who are willing. We said it a few weeks ago. Run with those who want to run. If someone in small group, maybe they're young and they're all over the place, but they are hungry, you feed them. They will go the extra mile. Knowledge and experience of being a Christian is not as valuable today for us in church as willingness. A willing person that's saved for 2 weeks can evangelize 20 people if he wants to in a day. Person with experience and a track record that's not willing will not evangelize one person. And the crowd shows us, spiritually immature as they were willing and hungry for him. And they got fed. Amen? I think you get the point. Willing minds will do more and hold out to the end. They will live up to expectation if they want to. Next verse, 6 verse 37. Okay, it's just me having quiet time here. Okay, you're all involved, invited. You still enjoying it? I hope it helps you with your quiet time. Mark 6 verse 37. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Jesus is just a fantastic host. He is just the most amazing host. Number one, these people actually were quite rude following them. He repaid them by being a gracious host. But the biggest pattern I want us to see here is this. When we follow God, and God gets a feeling, he doesn't need a feeling, he knows, that you are hungry for him to eat spiritually. And you order your life in such a way so that you get fed spiritually and that you can feed others spiritually. For example, or maybe what I'm saying is you are putting spiritual food first, like these people. He will feed you naturally. Give them bread. Feed them. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Jesus would not send them home hungry. They came to eat spiritual, he would give them food also. That's how he works. We put duty first, and we allow God to replenish us spiritually, naturally, and provide for us. Just like he provided for this crowd. God has and will never fail faithful servants. The thing that came to mind for me is almost like the way of duty towards God, the way of duty is the way of safety. To remain dutiful towards God is the way that my life will stay in a safe place until I die. Maybe I turn my eyes away from God and I become dutiful to myself. I build up a lot of things to sustain me, and then one day a wind blows and it all gets blown over. And I've got nothing to stand on. If I follow God, I remain dutiful to him. I might lose everything, but I will have the kind of faith that God can restore it to me like this, because I'm still with him. And if he doesn't restore it, it's okay, I'll just carry on. But duty to God as step one, I would say, is the same as seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Amen? I was just thinking about that also in my own life. Having that in mind, do we ask God where we should be? Are we in this church because we by accident work close to this church? Because I believe you are here for a reason. But do you know that reason? Have you asked God, why am I here? Because that will change the way you relate within church and within your calling. Because if you know you're here for a reason, you know that you actually have to be doing something. Okay? Sounds hard, but it's not. Because you are an awesome, amazing, functional unit. Built by God, designed for ministry and blessing. You are not here by accident. Amen? You are here because God placed you here. And where he puts you, whether it's paradise, forest, or desert, because he's there, it turns into paradise. He gives you life. He feeds you from his words, from his overflow. And he takes your ashes and he gives you joy and he gives you beauty. Amen? And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found them, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. Interesting. What he gave them to eat. It was basic stuff, right? Fish and bread. basic stuff. And I think Jesus was actually teaching them something here. Can we just go to that, at the back again, there's another slide I attached. Just consider this verse here. They tested God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. Isn't that interesting? They tested God. God is not good because look at my car. Or God is not good because no. It's like God is on a different wavelength. A total different wavelength. He gives them bread and fish. Enough of that. Don't make a mistake. There's enough bread and enough fish. But it's like it doesn't cater in that case into delicacies or rarities, but into necessities more. And I think the message in that desert place is still the same. Here, Christ is the delicacy. Christ is the craving we crave. And He quenches our craving, and now we can eat bread and fish. We can even eat rice. Or just bread. Or just fish. Or boinky soup. Okay. But if Christ quench my craving, you know, then what I need I'll take and I can carry on with my duty. But the wicked test God by demanding delicacies, the food they crave. The godly say, God, I'm saved. God, I might left my house and my business, my family, and I ran off to you. It was a risk, but what I received, the pearl of great price, it's worth so much more. I don't need delicacies. I don't need A, B, and C. I need more of you. I will leave again. Even if you move me, you establish me, I will go again if you move, because you are my delicacy. And Jesus provides. He says, give them food. When people come, He says, give them food. Those who follow Christ will never hunger. Not spiritually, not naturally. Give them food. Amen? You desire Jesus more than what you desire His delicacies. Hey, is there delicacies with God? Is there marvelous moments? Of course. Yeah, it's a God that in His overflow just flushes us with beauty. The Bible even says we can't contain it. It's over and above, shaken together and all those things. But that's not what we live for. That's not what we seek. We seek Him. And we get a lot more. Amen? I like this part. Back to where am I now? Excuse me. Okay. Thank you. Interesting that the people sat down and they were orderly. That's the previous verse. It says they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And the bread and the fish is like ministry. You minister. When you're a host, you also minister to people, whether it's food or whether it's spiritually. So Jesus has got this food to minister to the people. And the way He does it is He says, make this chaotic bunch of sheep that looks like they're wandering without a shepherd, scattered, put them in order. 50, 100, 50, 100. Make sure there's one guy that goes, puts his hands up. Has anyone received a welcome pack? And a welcome pack, fish and bread, there you go. And there was order. And I think in the same way, as I read it, I thought, okay, God, church. Oh, I see. I see now. Josh, Jen, there's 50. There we've got Shofar. There we've got His people. Oh, everyone gets fed because you raise up leaders. I mean, imagine putting all the pastors in one church. They will kill each other. With a mic. Okay, so you order them out and you still from heaven distribute to the houses. And then within the church, God is so smart. We've got these stuff called small groups. oh, everyone eats because now I can have a one-on-one, because in church there's a one-on-50, or in the evening a one-on-150. So we make provision. We go into our groups, we put a leader, how's your small group doing? iPhone, I'm very mad because you didn't have small group this week, the people must eat. Oh, I'm sorry. We order it. We work it. We make sure there's a side to it that's practical. Amen? And then we've got this stuff called foundations, because it's so hard to speak on everything on Sunday. So we take them through foundation one, where they learn about Christ and the Holy Spirit, the baptism, and foundation two about the church, and then about family, and then about demons. But we give them everything. But we do it in order so that it makes sense. Amen? Just like Jesus. Now, church mustn't be like that, because church must be more, let's just see how it goes. No, it's not how God works. Don't believe it when people come with that rubbish. This is not legalism when you do things orderly. What it is it's making sure everyone gets saved and everyone gets discipled. That's what it is. That's not legalism. Amen? They sit down in groups, 150s. Because if I was in a group of 100, and I was hungry, I would have been a bit scared, eh? they maybe forget my little fish. The last slide. Hey, I'm just having quiet time with the audience, and I'm having a blast. The last one. Please. Thank you. Yeah. This is what I took from Mark 6, verse 30 to 44. We are accountable to Jesus for our ministry on earth. Can I get an amen? The presence of Jesus turns any wilderness into paradise. Amen. Jesus blesses His people, even when they are socially inappropriate, bold, and desperate. Amen. Hey, that's me a lot of the time, so. Seek His kingdom and you will eat. Very deep. That's true. Seek His kingdom and you will eat. Ministry happens effectively and orderly. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God, I mean, this is what, 14 verses? I think you can, as a church, you can almost eat on this for 6 months. It'll go through, I mean, look at that. Accountability, the deity and the beauty and the sovereignty of Jesus. Jesus blesses people in love when they are inappropriate, to seek His kingdom first, and how to do ministry. I mean, 14 verses, come on. The Bible is an amazing book. I suggest you get your nose in there. It's amazing. Let's stand up. Father, we want to thank You that You are so gracious to us. Even this morning, Lord, just as the ladies just distributed the fruit to us, Lord, You came and You distributed to us spiritual truths. And You planted in our hearts. Thank You, Lord. We worship You. We bless You and we thank You. Thank You, Father, that in these morning services, even when we're not here with a massive band and a smoke machine and people that jumps up and down and it's only 2 songs, even then, You come. Some people might walk in here and say, hey, but this is a desert place. Look at this place. But Jesus, that doesn't matter, because You turn any desert into paradise when You go there. We worship You for this morning. Thank You for the discipline of working through the Bible and taking the fruit of it and feasting on Your truth. And as we stand here, we want to pray for our evening service tonight, Lord Jesus, for every visitor that will come, Father. Thank You that this year You've been so good to us, Lord. Thank You just for us being able to baptize over 50 people this year, Lord. Thank You for having a new member service last week of over 20 people, Lord. We pray for our evening service, Lord, that tonight You will do a big work, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.